Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
Final hour of Ben and Woods on a Wednesday morning. Coming up at 8:35, we're going to look ahead to tonight's huge Game 5 at Dodger Stadium, Nationals and the Dodgers. Jesse Dougherty, who covers the Nationals for the Washington Post, is going to check in. I don't know that I've been as excited for a non-Padres, non-World Series game in a long time than this one tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be what you dream of, man. It's going to be what you dream of.
See, now it's baseball, though. Which invariably means Walker Buehler, Steven Strasburg.
They'll be out in the
third.
It's
going to be like 5-4 in the third inning, and they're going to be into both bullpens.
Yeah.
Because it's baseball.
It's baseball.
And you just can never predict anything.
Well, I mean, if you had, you know, if you bet on the game last night, if you were watching, you're like, oh, Justin Verlander against the Rays and a chance to knock them out. Done deal. But it just doesn't go that way, especially in the playoffs, man. Anything can happen. And that's what makes it such, it's the best playoff around, period. It's not even close.
So Woods, you know, I have an unusual schedule to my day, to my week.
Yes.
Up early, up late.
Correct.
So I understand needing to pick your times when you are off. It's not always Friday night, Saturday night that you can go out and have a good time.
Because
sometimes I'm working. So.
You often hear somebody say on a Wednesday, today's my Friday, right? They work in the service industry.
You see that,
hear that
a lot in television. There's always someone on Monday who goes, it's my Friday.
It's my Friday.
Oh, it's my Monday.
That sucks for you and
me.
Yeah.
But, you know, someone's always happy because they're about to start their weekend. Our assistant producer, Hammer, has a similar sort of lifestyle. Two jobs, odd hours. So I guess he has to pick his moments where he gets to just unplug and abandon the normal sense of responsibilities to the rest of the world.
Yes, cut loose a little bit,
if
you will. Hammer has joined us for this segment, as I have invited him in to do so. If you missed this, we did this right at 5 when we kicked off the show because Paul found this yesterday floating around on Twitter. I'm actually amazed that it's still up. I was amazed that it was even up this morning. Hammer got off of the air yesterday with us and then went home. His parents were gone. They live in Alpine. They have a nice big house, beautiful home. You can tell by the video. And you, let's just say you got faded. How's
that? Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Got faded, Ben.
Not drunk, but faded.
Faded.
Did he get faded on sight? I guess on the side of his parents' home.
No, because faded on sight would mean,
I know, I'm
somebody
kidding.
Knocked me out at home.
Yeah. Right. Well,
I don't think so.
He may have been better off than to get knocked out at home than posting the video, which we've retweeted from at Ben and Woods.
What time of day was this recorded?
I would say maybe 1 o'clock, 12:30.
All right. 12:30 in the afternoon.
Midday.
Under bright sunshine.
Yes.
San Diego.
Hammer in it, and I'll set the stage because this is radio. Hammer is at home. He is shirtless. You'll hear panting from the two French bulldogs in the background. Hammer is under the influence.
He also puts on his Coke bottle glasses.
Very thick.
We don't have to call them Coke bottle glasses.
Well,
I need them to see.
Right.
Which is fine. I'm glad.
They're very thick.
I'm glad that
I didn't know you had glasses.
Have you ever heard of LASIK?
I can't get it.
Do you wear contacts to work?
Yes, I have to. Yeah, I literally cannot see.
Blind as a bat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, this is the audio of a very
faded
Hammer yesterday.
Hammer coming in f***ing hot today.
Today?
What is today? Tuesday? Of course it's Tuesday. Only way to know it's Tuesday when we're just acting nuts. What a weekend. What a f***ing weekend.
Yep.
And let's get started.
Let's get started.
Is this like
first and foremost.
Hold on.
In my head.
The only reason why you're here is because you wanted to see the Texans beat down those Falcons and let the dirty birds clip their own wings. That was embarrassing for everyone involved. And of course, give it to them. Yep. Sometimes you got to give yourself the own surrender. Texans by a lot. Falcons have a little. Love it. Love it, Texans. Come on. Come on, boys. Ebony and Ivory.
Not your dog's names.
Not my dog's names.
It's Ben, Ben, are you concerned?
So, well, of course I'm concerned.
Probably should be.
When I was listening this morning driving in when you played it at 5 a.m., I couldn't hear the dogs panting. I assume it's a little difficult if you're driving on a freeway to hear that, but that is really the gem in the background.
Yeah.
Is to hear the dogs panting.
They're going nuts in the background.
Listen.
Give it to them.
It's going to be tough to hear that, but I assure you it is loud and clear, at least in my headphones.
Now, he woke up this morning, got here right on time, as usual.
With a smile on his face.
Smile on his face, positive attitude, yeah. Ready to work. I don't have any problem with it.
Yeah, my whole thing was I was smart about it because I was not drunk, so I did not have a hangover. That's my most important part of this is my thing is you can't get drunk on the weekday anymore because I have to come into work.
Right.
I can't do this hangover. I've tried to before.
It's the worst gig in the world.
Yeah, I'm out there. Period. I'm getting sick. So I just made sure that I wasn't hungover. So basically my whole day, if I don't have anything to do, I'm fine. Next morning, I'm good to go.
He's good to go.
Let's get started.
Unless someone around here like asks you to pee in a cup.
But it's radio. They don't do that here. There'd be no one on this floor. You'd be here.
First and foremost.
Ben would be.
What's everybody?
So Ben would
yesterday was drug testing day. Everyone's gone.
Ben would have to run down to KSON and be like, hey, it's Ben Higgins. Here's Florida Georgia Line. Then he'd have to go next door to Kixie and be like, hey, here's whatever.
I think Kixie might be fine on the drug
testing. Paul
testing.
Simon.
Probably. Yeah, here's Paul Simon. Then he'd have to pop into the 94.9 studio. And definitely you'd have to run the board over there for sure. And then next, AJ and Sarah, you may be okay. And on down the row, you know, but they better not drug test Hammer. I need Hammer here. So I'm not concerned at all.
Let's get started.
Oh, God, it's
well,
the best.
Well, I think my concern is that I feel like we should be role models in a certain way.
Okay.
We're, you know, public figures.
Right.
And I don't necessarily want anyone to think that Tuesdays at 12:30 is a great time necessarily responsibly. With most people's schedule, that would be an irresponsible time.
Yeah,
to,
and if Hammer had said,
to
hey,
be out of your complete faculties.
He was definitely out of his faculties.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's not like he said, hey, I called in sick to my second job so I could go home and get loaded.
This was literally the only time that I could actually just have fun and be myself.
He needed to be himself. I want to hear it again.
Hammer coming in f***ing hot today.
Yeah, today.
What is today?
If this is a show, you might want to reduce the profanity.
Oh, yeah.
Just my first.
I was just trying it out.
Piece
kind of
advice.
Testing to see if I could do my own show.
There's no bad ideas in brainstorming.
Today? What is today? Tuesday? Of course it's Tuesday. Only way to know it's Tuesday when we're just acting nuts. What a weekend. What a f***ing weekend. And let's get started. First and foremost, the only reason why you're here is because you wanted to see the Texans beat down those Falcons and let the dirty birds clip their
just
own
pause,
wings.
Pause there again. When you say the only reason you're here,
who are you talking to?
So the only reason why I did this video is I was making a joke with my girl, and I was just trying to be super funny, super outrageous, and I was just trying to make her laugh. So basically, she was the one watching my own show.
Now, you could have taken a video and just texted it to her. You do have her number.
In the condition I was in last night, I thought I was responding to a text. On Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking
at the only reason why you're here is because you wanted to see the Texans beat down those Falcons and let the dirty birds clip their own wings.
Now, your girl couldn't care less about what the Texans do,
oh,
right?
Absolutely not.
Right. Okay. Just want to clarify.
That was embarrassing for everyone involved. And of course, give it to them. Yep.
God.
Sometimes you got to give yourself the own surrender.
What?
Texans by a lot.
Sometimes.
The own surrender.
Sometimes you got to give yourself the own surrender.
Sometimes you got to give yourself the own surrender.
What do you think that, in light of the morning now, what do you think that meant?
So if I were to go back into my head yesterday, I would think that I was assuming that the Falcons had to surrender themselves. And if you're watching the video, you can actually see my French Bulldog lying on its back as is he's playing dead.
Sometimes you got to give yourself the own surrender.
Sometimes you got to give yourself the own surrender.
So they laid down for the Texans, basically.
Yeah,
absolutely, 100%.
They Texans by a lot, Falcons have a little.
Have a little.
Love it! Love it, Texans. Come on.
Come on.
Come on, boys. Ebony and Ivory.
The more I hear it, the more concerned I am.
So I have two questions. Yeah. One has been posed multiple times this morning by your fans.
Yeah.
You tagged Disney in that tweet.
At Disney.
I thought it was a good video. If anyone wanted a good video, it'd be Disney, right?
Major corporate media corporation. You tweeted, probably not on brand for them so much, but
to at your girlfriend, so many things I wish I could delete. This idea isn't one of them. At Disney.
Just putting myself out there.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. My second question is a two-parter. How often would you say this happens per week that we don't know about? Like that you.
Oh, so for this to happen, I got to pay a pretty penny, so I can't do it too often, but probably I would say once every 2 months.
Okay. That's not bad. Nothing to worry about then.
And my follow up is, will you start filming more?
Yeah. I need more.
This was tough to listen to today.
It was
very cringeworthy. I've been out there and I'm not too proud of myself. My mom's going to listen to this and be very worried.
I'm glad you recognize that. Glad you recognize that.
And that's even scarier. Yeah.
I don't know if that's a selling point or not. Kramer.
Craig Meddy, our boy that will be on with us tomorrow at 6:20, says, Hammer sounds like a guy that needs to come on my Periscope. Drinking in the day. Let's get started.
It's amazing.
Only on Tuesdays.
You absolutely need to go on Periscope.
That is our guy right there, Ben. That's our guy. That's our assistant producer. Our phone calls and life are in his hands many times.
You call the show, you're talking to Hammer first.
That's it. He's our director of first impressions.
I saw the phones were blinking earlier, so people want to talk to you, Hammer. So I'll let
first and foremost,
get back to the phones. And I want to get back. I actually do want to talk about the Dark Horse Padres managerial candidates.
Yeah, so, it seems like they're all dark horses at this point.
The fudge is Jace Tingler. We'll get to that coming up next. On Ben and Woods. It is 97.3 The Fan. Let's get a check of traffic right now with Suda Vincent. .3 The Fan invites you to Halloween as the San Diego Animal Support Foundation and Grossmont Center bring together dozens of rescue groups and shelters featuring hundreds of adoptable dogs and even some cats for this mega adoption event inside the mall coming up this Saturday, October 12th. Beginning at 11 a.m. For more info, log on to 973thefansd.com under our events page. All right, Ben Woods here. We're going to talk with a Washington Nationals beat writer. Jesse Dougherty is going to be with us in about 14 minutes as we look ahead to tonight's Game 5 at Dodger Stadium between the Nationals and the Dodgers. You were just kind of looking at the point spread. You talk about point spreads in baseball much, but the run spread is Nationals 1.5, so they could actually lose by one, and you could win a bet on the Nationals.
Yeah, exactly.
They got Steven Strasburg going tonight.
Yeah, against Walker Buehler. It's going to be it's just great. I cannot wait for this game. I actually took the Nats. I'll take that 1.5.
Man, interesting. Do you think Dave Roberts is in jeopardy?
Yeah.
If the Dodgers lose tonight,
big time. Absolutely. I think he's out of a job. Wow. Tomorrow morning. Yeah.
Who do you go out and get now?
Don't know. Don't know.
Steal Joe Maddon from the Angels?
I mean,
if the Dodgers lose this one game,
it's not one game. It's not one game.
It's three games.
It's
overall.
It's one game this year, but the World Series the previous two. Man, yeah. Look,
I just don't think that's right.
I don't
understand which game it is that you're blaming Dave Roberts for. Is it his fault that Max Scherzer beat Rich Hill? No. I mean, you certainly expected the Dodgers to lose that game. So is it his fault that Clayton Kershaw was not good in game two? I mean, who would have Joe Maddon started in that game? Let me tell you, Clayton Kershaw
sure
in that game. So any other manager in the world is sitting 2-2 right now, and it's coming down to Walker Buehler versus Steven Strasburg.
You like your chances if you're a Dodger
fan. And any other
fan.
Manager in the world is starting Walker Buehler in this game tonight. I don't see what you're looking for if it's not Dave Roberts. He's put your team in a position to win the World Series all 3 years he's been the manager, including this year.
Yeah.
He's got him a game away from another NLCS. I just can't. I can't see a rational person going into a room and explaining to Dave Roberts why he's fired.
I can't either, but that doesn't mean that he won't be. It is, it's at the end of the day, it's about getting the job done. And there are a lot of circumstances that come into play, and it shouldn't just fall on his head. But that's how it works, and he knows that. And I think even he knows, do you not agree that if they lose tonight that he's gone?
I don't think so, but if he is, and that leads us into our Padres dark horse managerial candidate, I do think he becomes a candidate to be the next manager of the Padres.
No question about
right
it.
Right away. I would put him at or near the top of the list.
Do you guys know he wasn't interviewed the first time?
I have heard that once or twice.
I think that story is overblown. Yes, he didn't sit down for a formal interview. They already knew Dave Roberts quite well, you know, as the bench coach and being there with Bud Black for several years. The fact that they needed to go in a different direction, it's kind of insulting when you interview a guy but say, but we really can't hire you.
Here's the interesting part. I got a Dodger friend. My boy Vic is a huge Dodger fan. He's listening right now, and he says, my boy Walker is a beast. And I said, well, so is Strasburg. And then he says, F Dave Roberts. Now, Ben, that's a Dodger fan that's been to the World Series twice. That's a Dodger fan that is on the brink of making it to the NLCS and going for a third straight pennant. And his quote is F Dave Roberts. So that should tell you in and of itself what a lot of Dodger – I don't feel that way. I think it's ridiculous too. I do. I think it's absurd. But I do think if he loses tonight, he's probably out of a job.
Fine. Then I'd ask that Dodger fan, who do you want?
Yeah.
Who are you looking for?
Who's better?
That's better for this team right now that you think can get the Dodgers over the hump? Because I'll tell you what, there might be someone out there, but if you had 100 hires, more than likely the guy you're going to get is not going to take you to two straight World Series and have you on the brink of another one this year. And Dave Roberts did that. The grass is not always greener on the other side when it comes to a manager.
So, and Corey says, Ben, you love Dave Roberts probably as much as you love Steve Kerr. True or false?
I do love Doc. I'd love me some Doc. I don't even know that he's my favorite dark horse candidate name, though, to be the next Padres manager. I don't know if that, you know, well, the whole experience card kind of goes out the window a little bit when names like Jace Tingler start get thrown around. But to me, Mark Loretta exudes manager. I feel like that presence that he would bring is very managerial. He just, when you talk to him, he sounds like someone who should be making decisions and in charge of something. That's just been my impression of my interactions with Mark Loretta
the years. He's got as much big league managerial experience as Jace Tingler.
Which makes them a dark horse.
Which, by the way,
he's got the look of a manager.
Oh, boy. That's not going to fly these days.
You can't have a look of a manager?
You can't have the look of a manager. Gabe Kapler has the look of a manager. How's he doing? Ben, I've been working on in my mind. Jace Tingler, by the way, is the greatest name in baseball history. Besides Rusty, you know, I can't say it. But you know what I'm talking about. I don't say it because I know that you want to.
It's his name.
It is his name, but I still don't want to say it.
All right.
Okay? Just be careful.
Ben, you say it.
For self...
Rusty Staub.
No, not,
oh, that not him.
Not Rusty Staub, okay?
God, I want to say
sweating right now. Look, I've been working on a parody of Jace Tingler in my head. It goes to a very dark place. I don't think I could do it without being suspended. I'm going to try anyway. And if I get suspended the next few days, that's fine. I just don't know who this guy is. Now, Mark Loretta, again, he has as much experience managing a big league ball club as Jace Tingler does. I don't know that that is the direction for me personally that I feel if I had the decision that I would go.
Ultimately, we talked about this earlier, though. I think both of us are intrigued by the idea of a hire of someone that AJ Preller and the Padres front office isn't entirely comfortable with.
There is no doubt
about
it.
Someone who's going to come in and rattle a few cages.
Yeah.
That's going to shake things up a little bit. That's going to upset the apple cart, if I may throw in a few more expressions like
I had a guy vigorously defending Mike Socia, you know, a few weeks ago on my Twitter. And, you know, I don't know that let's play this game, Ben. We get vetoes, all right? I'll say a name, and you can move to the next round or veto, okay? And you don't have to explain yourself. Brad Ausmus.
Veto.
Mike Socia.
Veto.
Jace Tingler.
Veto.
Buck Showalter.
I'm not going to use a veto there.
Okay, Ron Washington.
I'm also not going to use a veto there.
Well, now, what about his past that everyone is talking about?
I don't know about his past.
Okay.
I wasn't there. I haven't read any like definitive transcripts of evidence. I haven't looked into it enough. I don't know. I know there were some accusations. I don't remember giant media coverage. I remember stepping down for personal reasons. I remember testing positive for cocaine. Neither of those to me is disqualifying to be a manager. Again, in Major League Baseball,
he's a coach.
When you have a track record of being an excellent coach. Is it concerning? Of course, yes. And I know the Padres are doing their homework on everyone, including Ron Washington.
But
I'm just not putting the veto down at this moment.
Okay. Josh Bard.
Veto.
Who else?
You know what? I retract the veto.
Joe Espada.
Veto.
Were you vetoing Joe Espada? God, he's a trendy pick right now.
He is.
What if the Astros lose? Does that make it worse for you? Shouldn't make any difference at all. Do you feel in your heart that you're going to be happy with whoever they hire?
Probably not.
Who would have made you happy? Joe Maddon?
Probably. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, look, this is what we're here for. Let's work this out on the air. This is like therapy.
If it's Dave Roberts, if he gets fired tonight and they hire him, I'll be happy.
Well, we all know that. I was unaware. I've been working with you for, you know, a year and a half, 2 years. I was unaware of your love for Doc Roberts. It's not on par with Steve Kerr. You would die for Steve Kerr, I'm convinced.
Well, yeah,
you would take a bullet for Steve
Dave's
Kerr.
Dave's up there, though. I mean, it's not just me. It's mutual, right, Paul?
He feels the same way about you?
Doesn't he? I mean, he was on last week. He expressed his undying love, kind of, sort of.
Okay, so my Dodger fan buddy says it doesn't matter who manages the Dodgers. They would be a Friedman puppet.
Ben, you do a great job, have done it for so long.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. He would. Now he's going to take a bullet for Doc Roberts.
Ben, you do a great job.
I'm so easily swayed.
I'm a little jealous myself.
All right,
though.
Well, speaking of the Dodgers, we will talk about Game 5. Jesse Docherty from the Washington Post covering the Nationals. You got to be excited, even if you're a reporter, to cover a game like this tonight. Looking forward to it. He joins us coming up next.
And just quickly, we had Friar Phil weighed in. He says, who is Tingley, whoever the F he is? I don't want Andy Green 2.0.
That's next. Ben Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Says she tired, little money, need a big boy. Pull up 20-inch blades like I'm Lil Troy. Now it's everybody flocking, need a decoy. Shorty mixing up the... Walker Buehler's really looked like nothing phases him so far in his career.
Man.
But, you know, you haven't pitched in a winner-take-all Game 5 or Game 7 until you've done it.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of question marks going into this game tonight. We're going to talk about the Game 5 matchup at Dodger Stadium. In just a moment with Jesse Docherty from the Washington Post. First, let's get a check of traffic with Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan and Suda Vincent. And Woods, I would say with the historic inherent dislike of the Dodgers from Padres fans and the fact that Steven Strasburg from West Hills High School in San Diego State will be on the mound, you'll find a good pocket of Washington Nationals fans here in San Diego for tonight's game. And joining us right now on 97.3 The Fan covering the Washington Nationals for the Washington Post, Jesse Docherty is with us. Jesse, it's good to have you. Did I get that name pronunciation correct?
Yeah, you did well. Thanks.
Excellent. All right, so, Steven Strasburg has really come through here when the Nationals have needed him the most. Does he have one more in him to pitch an out-duel Walker Buehler tonight in Game 5?
Yeah, I mean, that's the pressing question, right? And, you know, for those who have followed the Nationals through this run, their general strategy is to hide their bullpen at all costs, and that requires a heavy lift from their starters. And if Steven can do that tonight, if he can go 7 solid innings, give them a chance to win, hand it over to back into the bullpen, then, you know, they should have a good chance to win this game. obviously it takes, you know, the offense as well. Walker Buehler's a great pitcher, but this starts with Strasburg when it comes to the Nats, and he's been great in big moments, as you mentioned. So we'll see if he has one more.
Well, the back end of the bullpen for the Nationals has been the one that kind of gives everybody pause. And I said it yesterday, and I really believe this. Would it surprise you? You would know more than anybody. We're talking to Jesse Docherty, Nationals beat reporter of the Washington Post. Would it surprise you to see Max Scherzer for two batters tonight come out in the huge, huge spot?
It would surprise me. I think only one full day removed from 109 pitches. That's a pretty big ask to have him come into the game. I mean, I don't. It's not a 0% chance, given how these playoffs have gone for the Nationals and the way they've pressed the buttons in big moments. I think if you can get it to the seventh, you have Sean Doolittle, you have Daniel Hudson. Those are two guys that you can trust. They've been pretty good in this series. I do think there's a chance we see Patrick Corbin, who obviously was really bad in relief the other night, but
yeah.
I don't think it's the time to hit the panic button on one of your best pitchers just because he had one bad performance. And then I think Anibal Sanchez could be in play as well on 2 days rest and maybe in a righty matchup situation. His soft stuff proved really effective against this team, so that could also be something that we see.
You know, I always tend to believe that you got here for a reason and you should stick with what's been working for the entire season when you get to this point. But when you do have what is expected to be a pitcher's duel like this and you're going up against a guy like Buehler and you're thinking, hey, this could be a 1-0, a 2-1 type game, does Dave Martinez manage this any different? Do you see like, hey, can we bunt for a base hit, bunt over a little more often? Can we just push across one
yeah.
run? Not necessarily the style of baseball that's become accepted in 2019, but do you change things up for a game like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen it in this series that the Nats have played that way. They pretty much played with their backs against the wall since the wild card game and done a lot of things unconventionally. They've also been a team this season that is not afraid to sack bunt. They're not afraid to hit to contact instead of power. They're a little more old school and throwback in that way than a lot of the clubs we've seen in the postseason. So I don't know if it's going to be a big change, but you could see a higher emphasis on that sort of baseball and piecing together rallies that way. The back of the Nationals' order has been really rough in the series. So I think if they have a chance to bunt or hit the ball the other way instead of going for big hits, you may see that from guys like Kurt Suzuki, Michael A. Taylor. That sort of 6-8 has been a rough spot in the lineup, so I think we could see stuff like that for sure.
Now, what's the track record of success, current players against Walker Buehler, off the top of your head, if you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's just not a big sample size.
Yeah.
I think the Nats typically, you know, it'd be better to talk about guys of his profile, hard throwers, hard breaking ball, or not the guys that Nats hit particularly well.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you flipped it around, Walker Buehler's actually a really good matchup for the Dodgers because they hit velocity super well. But of course, he's facing the Nats. I say, but that type of pitcher gives them trouble. And we saw it in game one. Earlier this season, the Nats hit him really well in D.C., but again, just small sample sizes across the board.
Sure. Jesse, what's the narrative in Washington, D.C. about this team? After all the playoff failures and coming up short and Bryce Harper leaving before this season, is there something that people are ascribing the success right now for the team? I mean, anyone who follows baseball, like a beat writer like yourself, I think tends to dismiss sometimes these storylines because you see there's not a lot of rhyme or reason to a lot of it. But you got to write
yeah.
something, and people like to lap it up a little bit and come up with their own theories. So what are they saying in Washington right now?
It's interesting you ask that because the obvious playoff narrative for this team is that they've been to four NLDSs in the last 7 years and they've lost all four. And they haven't been past the first round of the playoffs since they moved back to Washington in 2005. So I think no matter what, that follows you. The names change, the stars change, whatever. But that narrative, that blanket narrative, is going to be with you until you advance. That said, this team is different than those four teams. Those four teams were all favorites. They won the division. They coasted into the playoffs with, you know, really good records, high 90s win totals. And when they lost, it was a major disappointment for the sole fact that there was expectations that they would go deeper into the playoffs. This team is facing the 106-win Dodgers. They're kind of playing with house money. They've done this wacky pitching strategy to get by their two wins. They were six outs away from losing, or four outs away, rather, from losing the wild card game and got a big hit off Josh Hader, which no one saw coming. So
yeah.
I think they were 19-31 in May, and everyone kind of wrote them off then, too. So I think this team is sort of like playing with nine lives to an extent. So if they lose, it does fit the narrative that you've gone to a fifth NLDS now and you lost again. But at the same time, I think there is departure from those typical Nationals teams that were favorites and kind of blew it rather than this team that is trying to punch above its weight and has a chance to do something really special.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the Rays and the Astros. I mean, you're again, it's house money. It's gravy right now. And the fact that you've played it so that you got Strasburg on the mound in a decisive game five, I think the pressure is squarely on the Dodgers tonight. I mean, squarely. That's the team everybody picked, you know, far and away to cruise. Not only win, just cruise to the World Series. The pressure is on those guys. They're staring down the barrel of blowing it yet again. And if I'm a Nationals fan, I'm pretty excited. And if I'm a Nationals player, you know, it's kind of balls to the wall tonight. Everything I expect Martinez to empty the tank tonight with that team.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think there's something really dangerous about the team that's the underdog playing with house money, however you want to put it. And the Dodgers are certainly not that. But on the flip side, I expect them to do the same thing. Clayton Kershaw is going to be available. Dave Roberts even said that Hyunjin Ryu could be available. While it's unlikely he could pitch, so like they're going to go, you know, full on too and try to win this game. And pound for pound, that makes them scarier because they're more talented. Their pitching staff's deeper, but at the same time, like just from a mental edge standpoint, then that certainly have that that feeling that they really don't have anything new to lose.
Are the Washington Nationals in this position in spite of losing Bryce Harper, or maybe because they lost Bryce Harper?
Yeah, I've been asked that a lot. I don't think it's because. I think that does culture change? Sure, maybe. Are those things a little overblown from the outside? Yes, I think so. Would it help to have a 35 home runs and 100 RBIs and 100 runs scored in your lineup? Yeah, always. So I think if he was on this team, I think they're better. He's a really great baseball player. I firmly believe that. But I do think there's a good mix of guys in that clubhouse that have created a really fun culture, and that's part of the reason why the Nationals didn't clamp up this year, is that because Bryce is gone, it's hard to say, because he just wasn't here, it's hard to really know how he factored into that. But I think this team, what it is a lot more about its additions and its subtractions, if that makes sense.
You talked about the wild card comeback with four outs to go. You had the Ryan Zimmerman home run in the last game. For you, as a beat writer covering this team, how fun have these storylines been and the chance to cover this run in October?
Yeah, it's been cool. And I think that there was, in late May, again, when they were 19-31, and it seemed like we were going to have a pretty dull summer in D.C. baseball-wise. I mean, it didn't seem like there was going to be any kind of push. Probably we're going to get some staff changes. We just maybe some trades of key players, to go for the future. And it was going to be something that no fan in DC had seen before since 2012. No writer had to cover. It was kind of uncharted territory in that way for a team with such high expectations to fail so miserably so early. And then when the Nats turned around, it was fun. It was fun to be around. Really cool to see such a historic comeback. It was the best 80 game stretch in club history at one point. And then this run, I mean, it's it feels like these guys have something special with them. I don't know if that's enough to beat the Dodgers tonight, but I do think it's made for really interesting storylines, and they've definitely kept me on my toes, that's for sure.
Jesse, enjoy it tonight. Game five, always a treat to cover, to watch as a fan, to participate in. We will all be watching that one. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, of course, guys. Thank you.
All right, Jesse Dougherty covering the Washington Nationals for the Washington Post. So what did he say? The Nationals were 19-31.
Yep.
Through 50 games.
Yep.
Padres through 50 games were 26-24. So they were, at that point, they were 7 games ahead of the Washington Nationals in the standings.
Crazy, man.
For a team that is now playing 1 win away from knocking out the Dodgers and going to the National League Championship
Series. Well, I mean, you knew they were going to right the ship when you've got the arms that they had. I mean, it's just, I think Lucchese and Lauer were going to continue to, boost the Padres forward in their quest for the playoffs this year, Ben. I mean, when you've got Patrick Corbin, when you've got Strasburg, and when you've got Max Scherzer, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And it took them a minute.
Right at that moment, the Padres were in the midst of a 5-game winning streak, sweeping Arizona and then winning 2 at Toronto to improve to 28-24 on the season.
It went to the crapper.
It really did. I mean, that's why Ron Fowler was so upset. I think he saw in the first half of the season that there was potential in this team, that there was the ability to go out and win games and be competitive, and they were .500 at the break. And yeah, sure, they could not sustain that all the way through. And I don't think anyone expected the Padres to be where the Nationals are right now.
Yeah.
But no one also expected the utter collapse over the last, you know, 6 weeks or so of the season and then the entire second half. But they were seven games ahead of the Nationals at one point.
It's crazy, man. Little breaking news here, Ben. We've had an update on Dapgate or Handshake Gate, whatever you want to call it. Richard Sherman has now come out and apologized.
Really?
Yeah, he was on the Pat McAfee show and he said, it's definitely my bad. I never want anybody to have to deal with some stuff that they didn't do. And so the questions he's going to get and the annoying nonsense questions about some stuff that happened in the game that's already been done, sure, he'll get an apology for that. I'll probably reach out to him via text or social media, try to get a hold of him and talk to him on the phone. Yeah, because that sucks. He definitely deserves an apology. That's my bad on that. He said he meant what he said. He did feel disrespected by how Baker acted at midfield, but didn't deserve all the backlash.
Well, and I'm glad he's doing
that.
Those
are two very different things, though, from he never shook my hand to I didn't like how he did it.
Right.
Richard Sherman, and he's not alone as an athlete.
He's a pretty emotional guy. So.
But a lot of guys will look for a trigger, especially at the beginning of a game.
But why after the game?
to get them fired up. Well, it's not so much that I think he invented it after the game. I think in his mind, he wanted to be offended right then. He wanted someone to fire him up, and he created this narrative in his head that Baker disrespected me and the game, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to destroy him in this game, and that's going to be my motivation. And, you know, sometimes when you tell yourself something enough times, it just becomes real. You start believing it, and I think in this case, Richard Sherman believed his own somewhat false narrative that Baker Mayfield had somehow wronged him in the pregame captain's meeting at the middle of the field. And it took the video and the light of another day in which he's not fired up. Who knows what he's not I'm accusing Richard Sherman of anything, but who knows what you've kind of ingested in terms of like Red Bulls or, you know, whatever else. Whatever else that you're kind of getting. I mean, football players are hopped up on painkillers and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, no,
man,
you're digging yourself
a hole. I'm not digging myself a hole. This is just true. This is a fact that a lot of football players are not going into. I mean, would you want to go into a game completely unaltered?
I never have. Never once. Richard Sherman hopped up on Red Bulls. Reminds me a lot of Hammer yesterday at his home. Under the influence.
But I'm glad that at least when he looks at it, he apologizes, because the last thing you want to do...
You don't want to say somebody did something that they didn't do. And they're getting worn out for it.
I mean...
Like, worn out.
I would feel so guilty if I had accused someone of doing something that all of a sudden you've got Skip Bayless or Colin Cowherd ripping Baker Mayfield, and you realize that they're doing that because of something you said that turned out to be entirely untrue.
Now, if the video didn't
feel guilty about
that. If the video hadn't come out, he's not saying a word. Not a word. He's going to let people continue to believe that.
I don't know that he would have even realized that it wasn't true if the video came out.
Right.
I do believe that Richard Sherman believed what he said at the time. Whether or not... you know, he kind of had invented it in his mind or misinterpreted something completely. But I don't think he just made up a lie after the game in order to trash Baker Mayfield. I don't get the sense that Richard Sherman's that kind of a guy.
No.
I think he's the kind of guy that relies on his emotion and
for motivation.
For motivation and needs something like that.
No problem.
But I don't think he's looking to throw Baker under a bus just for no reason at all and make up something that was completely untrue. I think he convinced himself it was true, and that was his motivation for the game, and he shared it after the game, which he probably shouldn't have done and really shouldn't have done when he found out that it turned out not to be the case after all.
Well, all I know, Ben, is what time's the Nationals-Dodger game?
That's the 5:30 game.
All right, my kid usually goes to bed at 7. He's going to bed at 5:30.
Yeah, the first game is at 2 o'clock, and it is also a game 5. I don't think it's quite as
it's good. It's
sexy,
a good one.
But it should be a good one.
It's a sexy one, man. The Cardinals, you know, obviously the greatest fan base in the history of fans, know more about baseball than anybody.
They
do things
the
right way. I get it. But the Cardinal fan today is on pins and needles. The Braves fan is very, very much on pins and needles. Our boss, Adam, is off today because of Yom Kippur. Just coincidentally, the Braves happen to be playing an elimination game. Do you guys find that a little bit sketchy?
I don't. It really is Yom Kippur.
No, it is.
Totally is.
But he, you know, he wanted to watch that game at 2.
True.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure he would have taken the day off even if there was no playoff baseball today. Wouldn't you have? I would have.
Oh, yeah, if I could have, yeah. If I was even a little bit Jewish, I would be out of here. I'm surprised Hammer's here.
I'm a quarter Jewish. I can't believe I didn't take off the last hour of the show.
You could have. Yeah. You absolutely could have. What is the day? What is today for Yom Kippur? It's, you fast,
the Day of
right?
Atonement.
Oh, I believe God, never fast. Mind.
Yeah, it's pretty like long and not fun sounding.
For a guy like you, it would take all of 30 seconds.
Lots of prayers in synagogue all day long. Yeah.
Guy like
I don't
me,
know that you'll have time for baseball with all the praying and
if I had to atone you have to all for a year's worth of sins, yeah, it would take you 5 minutes. It would take me the entire day.
I mean, and whatever you're atoning for, and I'm sure Hannah would have a number of things that she would like you to atone for.
Probably.
It's probably mostly watching too much baseball.
Don't do this.
Yeah.
Which means you're not going to atone by watching
more baseball.
You're actually going to have to give up the baseball today to atone for all the baseball that you watched over the last year.
There's no chance.
This is actually the worst holiday to have a playoff game for you because you wouldn't even get to watch it. You're atoning for too much baseball.
No, this is a...
Atoning for your trip to Phoenix last week.
Oh, God, I know. I know. Still, I'm paying the price for that one.
What else? The last minute here or so. What, Paul, do you have anything you want to atone for, even though you're not Jewish?
Yeah, but I probably shouldn't say those all on the air.
All right, like okay. Fair enough. Hammer, do you have anything you're atoning for out there this last year? He's Jewish. He's not
he has no
he doesn't
shame.
Really.
He doesn't. It,
doesn't need
he
to.
Reminds me a lot
First
of you.
And foremost.
Life, it's, things just kind of roll off his back.
And let's get started.
One of my, it's the greatest.
Love it!
Not intoxicated. What's the word I'm looking for?
Inebriated?
No.
It's
alcohol.
Is it?
No. Yeah, I think so. Incapacitated Hammer yesterday at home, having fun.
Not in the right state of mind.
Filming himself.
Not atoning.
First and foremost.
Though. First and foremost, it's just incredible.
I want Mrs. Hammer to call in.
Yeah, I would like to talk to Mrs. Hammer, too. I wonder how she feels.
That's Mom Hammer, not girlfriend.
Not
Hammer,
girlfriend.
Mrs.
Once you marry her,
that's
she's Mrs.
still
Hammer.
Miss Hammer for now.
His mom is probably very upset at him and us, probably, for playing it. So I apologize.
I really do want to see if we can come up with a segment called First and Foremost.
First and Foremost.
It sounds like something that a sports talk radio show would have on
First
the
and Foremost.
That's
And let's get started.
Let's get started on First and Foremost, Van Ben and Woods.
Bro, the only way I'm doing it is if it's Hammer's own segment, like Hammer Time Part 2, First and Foremost.
We're going to create the open, and then the segment will just blossom out of whatever open we've created. All right, that's it for today. Coach John Quintero, Gwen and Chris coming back later today. Jim Rome Show is up next. Great job, Hammer. Paul Reindel, the executive producer for Woodsy. I'm Ben. Have a good Wednesday from all of us here at 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.